On Robin Hood Radio, we have Jane Strong, our annual discussion, shall we say, our annual, it is time for the Equus Effect annual event, basically, which is on September 30th at 4:30 to 6:30, and I guess, what, your demonstrations, you want people there sharp, right?
Yeah, we're going to try to get things going around 4:45 so people have a chance to come in, say hello, get a drink and an hors d'oeuvre, and then we're going to be working with the horses in the round pen. We're going to have veterans and some first responders work with the horses, because people are always asking us, what exactly do you do? And so we're going to show everybody this year with some Navy SEALs and FDNY guys and NYPD folks. We've been working more with first responders as well as the veterans, and now these Navy SEALs we've been working with. So it's kind of a they're pretty interesting folks who've been through a lot of stuff, and the horses have helped them to settle down and come back to civilian life with some tools to build healthy relationships, because military life is quite different from civilian life, so they appreciate what the horses have to teach them.
And if you know horses, then you know what this connection is. But I don't know that a lot of people are really conversant, if you will, with the intensity of it and how amazing it is.
Exactly. Well, that's what the folks we work with say, is that they have a chance to use what we call minimum essential pressure, which is very different from the military that uses mostly maximum essential pressure.
On at all times.
At all times. And so they learn these tools that help them move more fluidly and more deliberately, but without a lot of intensity toward the horses, because the horses are extremely sensitive to what we put out there. They're prey animals. They are eaten by predators in nature, but they're also bigger than we are. So there's this sort of juxtaposition of this big animal who moves quickly and, you know, could hurt you if they need to get out of the way really quickly. But basically, they're gentle, they're social, and they're hypersensitive to how we come across and our intentions. So the people we work with have a chance to practice that, and the reward is very palpable and visible to them, because the horses then collaborate and cooperate with them quite easily when they manage their energy and their intentions in a way that makes sense to the horse without scaring them. So,
and I don't want to oversimplify it, but one of the keys to human life and survival, which seems to be one of my themes of late, is being able to manage those intentions
mm-hmm.
with
exactly.
Fill in the blank, you know.
Yeah, you manage the intentions with what we do. How we do that is we use very physical tools to help people settle down, like the breath, like doing a body scan before we start, having people learn what it's like to sort of track places in their body that we never think about, and then use the breath and then move it all the way down to one's feet, so that you create what we call more space to have more choices in how we respond to things. Because most of us, really, it's actually all of us, react to things with when we get triggered or when something on the outside seems to be coming at us and we have a reaction to it. You know, we actually have more choices than we think about how we come across and how we, what we call respond versus react. But you have to learn how to do that, and that's what we teach people here, and the horses are great barometers of how people are coming across, as well as are you being honest about how you feel, because we've all learned in our socialization to kind of not say what we think and feel all the time. And in the military, they're really taught to override their feelings of fear or concerns about things. That's what training is they learn to override all that And what we call it is expensive to the nervous system to do it. So we help folks kind of unwind that a bit and realize that they have a bigger range of how they, what kind of energy they put out and how they respond to things versus react. So it's a lot of teaching.
And you have just a wonderfully massive, very special tool on top of
exactly.
That. When was the Equus Effect? I remember way back when. Yeah, you started this quite a while ago, but then it evolved into more specifically what it is now. No.
Yes, we did. We started with an idea when we saw my partner David and I saw that statistic of 22 suicides a day among veterans, people who had already come home and they just couldn't make sense of their lives and they couldn't. They felt isolated and separated and, you know, a lot of feelings of remorse and anxiety and things like that from their experiences in the military. And so we believe that a big part of that choice that people feel that they don't have any more choice about how to live their lives comes from feeling isolated and separated and not really having the tools to manage healthy relationships when they come home because the culture is so different in civilian life. So anyway, David and I started this the idea in 2008 and got our 501c3 in 2012. And then finally were able to talk the VA and the vet centers into sending vets. And that was 2013 we started to see folks. And now we've expanded to include first responders, frontline health workers during the pandemic who were really upset, and then some of these people from the fire department in the city for us it's 22 years ago that 9/11 happened, but some of these young firefighters, it's only that's not so long ago. It's actually quite yesterday for them.
No, and Ladder 10, I always say this, Ladder 10 was right around the corner from my my loft.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So those were the guys. And they were the friends. They were the ones who crawled up and got the cat. They were the ones who, you know, gave us their food, and the great thing about the firehouses is they are family. They're generational also. But
you're right about that. It's really interesting. I was down there for an event on 9/11, and there were a whole bunch of them there, and it's really interesting how much of a family it is and how that cohesion, it is a sort of a military culture. It's like this cohesive, you know, purpose-driven organization that serves the community, and yet the theme of our event is called the Warriors and the Healers. Because in all cultures up until our modern society, the healers were waiting when the warriors came home. And I think that we've lost that. We've sort of made it into a diagnosis and changed that feeling of coming home to, you know, medication or some kind of a category we put people in when they come back from the wars of whatever they've been fighting, whether it's fires or whether it's trouble on the streets or whether it's in another country. These people need healers when they come home, and you know, we hope that we play a role, but the horses play a big role in helping people settle down and, you know, realize that they can get back to a state of, you know, nervous system regulation, that they feel like they've lost that because they're kind of wired up all the time.
Right,
so.
And then I dare say that that some of the meds that they, some of the, you can't see my air quotes, healing that they undergo doesn't help the nervous system, let's just say.
No, it just sort of masks symptoms, and then the people who come here will say, I don't feel like myself.
Right.
I feel like I'm standing beside myself, or they gain weight. You know, there's always they use these cocktails of medication that they hope will offset some of the anxiety, but that's really our aim. And not to say that we replace things that the other treatments, but what we do is we help people have their tools they can use that gives them autonomy and more agency and more feeling of like I'm actually okay. It's not what's wrong with me. It's what happened. And I can undo some of that with this work we do through the tools.
It also allows, if the medication is helping, and you know, I'm not the best with that, but I'll keep my personal. If it is helping, it helps integrate, because you can't do it without that connection, that component, that thing. I don't have a better word for it.
Right.
That essentially the horse, and that using that intention, using those skills, and basically using those senses to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can enhance the entire thing.
Sure, and it also gives people a chance. It's also fun.
Yeah, there is that.
It's a lot of fun to work with horses and actually to learn how to work with them, because we're teaching people how to do real horsemanship skills on the ground. So they're learning, and that kind of invites, you know, curiosity and empowerment to learn something new and come away feeling like, how, you know, I can do this. I can actually manage a horse with my intentions and with my breath and where my gestures make sense to horses, but also spouses and children and family. Any family member or community appreciates someone who's got a more capacity to stay calm in situations, and, you know, especially these first responders, because, you know, we want people to show up like calm and collected and reassuring when we're having an emergency in our lives, for sure. So there's a practical aspect to this too, for on the job stuff for the first responders, that we kind of just discovered in the last few years of like, wow, you know.
No, that's exceedingly cool. I have a quick question, and then let's just go over the particulars of the event one more time.
Yeah.
The quick question is, sometimes, like, the biggest, scariest people are just petrified of horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also, it goes like, if you're little, and I just know a lot of people who are terrified, you know, who are daunted, let's just say, I don't want to use it, are daunted by the size of the critter.
Right.
And what I am curious about is, what do you have an idea of what the percentage of big guy to like scary horse is? Or
well, it does. I never know who's going to feel like that. And so what we do with people, and there's a reason, because horses are big, you know, they weigh 1200 pounds or 1000 pounds, or we have one that weighs 2000 pounds. And, you know, people, of course, that's a very reasonable thing to feel, is fear, particularly when you don't know about them. You know what I mean? We think, some people come in thinking they're predators, that they're going to eat them, and some people think that they are just aggressive, but that isn't the way horses are. They're actually quite similar to the military. There's a big hierarchy. They stay in herds for safety. Their first go-to actually is, and this isn't like the military, but their first go-to is to run away if something is scary. And so when we teach people how horses see the world, which is what we do in the beginning, people start to feel a resonance with them, that as opposed to being an unknown, foreign, big thing, they become something that the people we work with feel sort of compassion for and resonance with, because they know what it's like to feel fear and try to override it. They know what it's like to be, you know, a prey animal where you're in dangerous situations a lot and have to be vigilant. So those kinds of things that relate to the psyches or the structure or the operating systems of the people we work with is similar to the way horses feel in dangerous situations, except horses don't override the fear. They run away, whereas we tend to go, oh, well, I shouldn't feel like that, or this is my orders or rules of engagement. I have to go in there and face whatever it is, even though my nervous system is telling me to get out. But anyway, to the point of the fear, we really respect it. We really respect fear. We really work with people to put distance between them and the horses before they engage with them. And, you know, we try to be really sensitive to what's really going on with people versus masking anything. So That's a long answer to your little question.
No, but like the horses, you know, again, that intention is so pure that they are the great, they are the great in the best way exposer. In other words, they're not actually once the connection is made, they know what you can handle and you know what they can handle and you can work your way up. The program, by the way, or the brochure is that a Percheron? It's just a massive horse and a guy standing next to it.
Oh yeah. That's a fired FDNY guy. He's going to be speaking at the event, and he had some really interesting things to say. But yes, that's Babe. That's the 2,000-pound draft horse, and
little petite creature. Yeah,
exactly. And she's really, you know, as you probably know about draft horses, they tend to be very low key, very patient. You know, she's a mare, so she has her opinions about things, but she's definitely very willing to hold the space while people sort out what's going on with them. And that's a lot of what we do, is we hold the space and let whatever comes up for people just come up and process it with them. And, you know, the horses really do, the more honest you are with them, the better they like it. And so when people really do have a big aha or release, you know, the horses are 100% in, because for them, you know, that's that authenticity and that congruence of the insides matching the outsides really appeals to them. For some reason, it just really appeals to them, and they really move right in when you're being honest. So,
yeah, they're magic.
They sort of are. Yeah, there's a lot we know. There's a lot we know, and I keep feeling like there's a lot I still don't know.
There's so much we don't know about that. I mean, you know, horses have wings.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, people really do find that they come up with something that matters to them, that some insight, some realization that matters to them right now. And we don't presume to know what that is, but somehow the connection with the horses seems to bring that up for people. And it's a big relief. It's a great...
Huge. It also overrides all of that chattering mind structure, you know, intellectual structure, because, you know, it's just, it's great. It's just like a massive override. And
yes.
That just I probably helps the authentic connection, helps facilitate that authentic connection.
Right.
All right, so you and I have banged on, and that's great. It's the warriors and the healers.
Right.
No, I mean, no, because really, how can you not talk about horses? You could just keep going, but we're not going to. It is the Equus Effect. It is your annual fundraiser. So are there donations at the door? What's the...
Well, the tickets are $125 a person, and we're going to serve beer and wine and hors d'oeuvres, and we're going to have the Joint Chiefs are going to play. So it's going to be I think we're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be really upbeat, and then we have these really cool... two Navy SEALs, at least two of them are going to be there, and they are going to speak, and so is this fire department New York guy and some first responders. So what we want is people to meet them and talk to them. We're going to make them wear sashes so that people know who they are, and you know, really make hopefully a connection human to human between this group of people who serve our country and our communities and the guests. So it'll be a chance to talk to them, see the demos with the horses. We're going to invite guests in also to work with the horses if they want. And of course, we are also trying to raise money. So happy to all talk about what that's going to be about when the event happens. But, yeah, September 30th from 4:30 to 6:30, beer, wine, and hors d'oeuvres at our place at 37 Drum Road in Sharon.
All right. What is it, the Equus Effect?
The theequuseffect.org. And equus is just the Latin word for horse. So.
I know, but you know how people just see those two U's and they don't know what to
say. I know,
do.
They're like, why do I go from there?
I don't know how to say it.
Right. So it's just theequuseffect.org, and the event is on there, 2023 event is on the website, and you can purchase tickets or you can purchase tickets at our place on Drum Road, or you can pay online or just bring a check, and
Or just bang on the door and, yeah, you bring, yeah.
Yeah, just happy to have walk-ins, so to speak, at the day of the event, of course.
Yep, and that's what it, all right, so once again, September 30th of 4:30 to 6:30, you hope to start your demonstration around 4:45.
Yeah.
37 Drum Road, is there a phone number, or are you just sticking to the internet?
Yeah, I think that, well, you can go on the website, there should be a phone number and a contact person there that somebody can call, anybody can call to find out more. There should be that on the website, but you can also call my number, which is 860-364-9985.
Perfect. Yeah, all right.
Okay.
No, I just because I'm... even though I am in conflict with most of the known universe, I am such a phoner. Just tell me what I need to know, and I could
exactly. I could. Yeah, and oh, the other last piece that everyone needs to know is that we want folks to wear what you would call barn casual, meaning you can wear boots and jeans and your best cowboy outfit or whatever anyone feels like wearing, but definitely casual. It's not a high heel event because the round pen is soft.
It's not a polo match.
Yeah.
Is it rain or shine?
Yes, I hope so. If it's raining like crazy, I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but we will certainly let people know if it's canceled. But otherwise, you know, yes, please expect to be there. We've got a big overhang over the round pen. It's not going to rain.
No, best, but also good to ask just because.
Yes.
But again, 2,000-pound, you know, babe, 2,000 pounds in slop, you know.
Right.
It's, no.
Right.
All right. Jane, it's always a pleasure. I hope to talk to you before next year, but good luck with this, and, yeah, straight ahead.
Thank you.